throughout the season. We're also talking about COVID-19 and the pandemic and dealing with it as a person with a disability as well. And I'm pleased to be joined with our guests today, April and Michaela. How are you guys?
We're good. How are you guys?
Doing well, doing well. Thank you so much for being here. So, April, I wanted to start with the beginning, you know, with Michaela as a youth. Talk to us about how that all started.
So, Michaela has been in our lives, and she's been integrated in a regular school system. So that was a different ballpark as a mom of special needs. In my heart, I integrated her in a regular school system, in a regular class, just because I felt like if she struggles with social disability, her diagnosis is autism as the part, that I really felt that she needed to be included in regular social settings. That was a struggle because when you have a child with special needs, right away they want to put them in a special class and segregate them from everybody else. So a big part of my heart was, nope, she needs to be with her friends. Just because she has a social disability doesn't mean that she can't be around her peers, just like her. She is nonverbal, but she does try to communicate in her own way. And as her mom, I just felt like, yes, she's got some differences, but she should still be with other kids just like her age group. So, it's been a struggle. It's been up and down navigating the school system and just in general, right? But in the public setting or anything else, right? I just have to make sure that her voice is heard because she doesn't have it, right? So,
yeah, and certainly Michaela certainly has a lot to say. So, again, navigating through the school system.
Oh, she does.
She certainly does. Navigating through the school system Michaela, and being her advocate, so to speak, what's that like in terms of ensuring that she gets the proper care and the proper supports in place?
So it's hard because she is nonverbal. I have to go with my gut instinct as to what's happening in our class. And I feel like, sure, she can't do the typical things that her peers can do, whether it's literacy or math, but I'm sure there's a way that they can adapt it so that it best suits her. So, for instance, if they were doing some type of math in their class, whether it was even like fractions or just something in general like that, well, we look at Michaela where she's developmentally, and I would push for them just to follow through. What would the next steps be for her in that class, in math class or French class or literacy or music? And it's funny because having her integrated in a regular class not only taught her peers that it's okay to be different, it's okay to learn differently, it's okay to be at different levels of learning, but also those students who really struggled with their social with their peers, Michaela was that kid that kind of drew to them and they would want to help her out and that kind of thing. So not only was it beneficial for her in a regular class, and that's why I pushed for that, but also for her peers to be involved with her as well in her learning. And I just feel like when there is a child with disabilities, I feel like they want to put them in a special class so that they can, you know, be with more, less educators, I should say. And even just in the school system, like I've had to make sure that she's had a consistent EA because, I mean, there's different types of EA personalities out there. And she really, really benefited with this one. And I feel like they wanted to keep switching her out because she had such a good relationship and they wanted to, you know, keep her flexible and stuff. But when you have that connection with somebody, you don't want to lose that. And she was learning so well and thriving. So I really had to push for that same EA throughout her school system so that as long as the EA was okay with it, of course, and that EA was, thankfully. But just when you see the relationship that two of them have, it makes a difference in their learning, right? So that was one thing that I really had to fight for throughout her whole school life. Just, you know, keeping her involved with her peers as well as keeping the consistency what's best in her needs, right?
Oh, absolutely. And you talked about her peers and her friends. What is that like for her and a mom to see that and her interactions with her friends?
I guess when she started school, that was my biggest fears. Is she going to make friends? Is she going to be included in everything? Is she going to feel like she's an outcast? Like, when she started kindergarten, I remember having those fears and thinking, oh my goodness, like, is this the right choice for her? Always second guessing myself. And it's funny because the peers that are her best friends now, they were with her when she was in daycare and then grew with her in kindergarten and continued to grow with her throughout her whole school life. And now, so Michaela's in grade 9 now, and we've decided to put her, this is the time that we needed to put her in a special class. But those peers, they went to cheer with her. They involved themselves in other special needs activities with her because they truly do care about her. And for me as a mom, like, it warms my heart incredibly, and to see the compassion that these friends have, that they don't see her differences. They don't see her needs. They don't see that she's different than them. They're just, that's just Michaela. That's just how she is. And they've accepted her for the way she is. And I think if anything, that just shows you what society should be like, you know. Just, it gives me great faith in our youth to know that having these kids included in a regular class definitely helps them become better people, more understanding people, more sympathetic people, so that when they become adults, it'll be a different world, I'm hoping anyways.
So you talked about the transition from elementary school to high school and then having to put Michaela into the special needs class. What was that like? What was that transition like?
Oh, it was tough for me. I had to do a lot of praying and to know that this was the right choice for her, because as Michaela's grown up, Michaela's also diagnosed with something called Pitt-Hopkins, which affects her development. Cool, that's right. So developmentally, like, she's 14, but developmentally, when it comes to like literacy or math or anything like that, she's probably more like kindergarten. So you can see, like, as she's gotten older, it's definitely become more prevalent of the vast knowledge that she has compared to her peers. And so when you go to high school, I mean, it's a lot more transitions, a lot more stairs, a lot more chaos, and you need a lot more independence. And Michaela's not there yet. So I'm like, so my husband and I talked, and we're like, you know what? A special class is probably good for her now, because she's not going to be able to do all those transitions. It's going to be too chaotic for her. She's not going to have the same kids in her class every single class. It's going to be too confusing for her. So we decided to put her in an autism class. And at first, it was a struggle because she's been integrated in a regular class for so long, she doesn't understand bubble space. Her peers have accepted her the way she's been. And so if she went to go sit by them, they'd be okay with that. Well, we know that children with special needs are all different, right? And there is some friends in her class that don't like other kids in their space. And so they've kind of lashed out a little bit at Michaela. And so she's kind of taken by surprise. And as a mom, it's like, okay, I understand children are different, but like, that's my baby. I don't want her hurt. That's been a little bit of a transition. But in general, like, she's happy. I can see that she's happy. She comes home telling me stories. She shows me pictures on her iPad of people that she knows there. And thankfully, so Michaela is in a class with four other boys. And so it's Princess Michaela amongst four other boys, which she absolutely loves. But she's in a smaller setting. So she's almost getting kind of more attention. And the fact that right now, because of COVID, she won't wear a mask. It's just a sensory thing for her. I've tried many times. I've tried the shield. She just won't wear it. It's just not for her. In her class, she doesn't have to wear one. So she's lucky that way. That I guess it's a blessing in disguise. We didn't realize COVID would happen like this. And so she's still going to school because she is in a special class. And she needs it. She definitely needs to be in her routines and settings and stuff. And it helps me because I work from home as well, and I need to have that time to do that stuff. Otherwise, if she was home, I wouldn't be able to do it.
Absolutely. Well, April, we're going to take a quick break, but we're going to talk more about the COVID-19 pandemic, and when we come back.
This is CIOI 101.5 FM. The Hawk is on the air.
Do you want to make a difference? Do you want to help the children of our community? For just over a dollar a day, you can change a child's future. Approximately 25,000 children in Hamilton live in poverty. That's why City Kids is here to help. With various programs, we help over 2,000 kids per week, from gifts for the kids on Christmas, even our amazing Red Bus service, plus so many other great programs to help build our youth's future. With faith, hope, and love, City Kids is transforming lives one child at a time. Visit citykids.ca. That's kids with a Z.
The Mohawk Students Association Food Bank is a free service for students in emergency need of food. Twice each month, registered students can pick up a bag containing non-perishable food items, including breakfast foods, canned items, and pasta, as well as some personal hygiene items. Students must show a valid one card and complete a form to register. The form is available online at mohawkstudents.ca/foodbank. The food bank service is offered at the Mohawk Students Association office at the Fennel, IAHS, and Stony Creek campuses. For specific location details, visit mohawkstudents.ca/foodbank.
Your child learns from your actions, so think about the lessons you want to teach.
Ah, Ethan, we don't draw on the wall, we draw on paper. Let's clean this up and find you some, okay?
Okay, Dad.
That's my guy.
It can really make a difference. Learn to guide your child in a positive way at childrensee.childrenlearn.ca.
This is a small dog barking. This is a medium-sized dog barking. And this is a big dog barking. Regardless of a dog's size or breed, its bite is always worse than its bark. That's why Canada's letter carriers kindly ask that you keep your dog indoors, in a fenced yard, or tied securely away from your mailbox. You may think your dog won't bite, but statistics say otherwise. More than 70% of reported dog bites happen at home and involve family pets. So please, be aware of where your dog is when we're delivering your mail.
You're listening to The Hawk 101.5 FM in Hamilton, Ontario.
Welcome back to Above and Beyond, Bridging the Gap to Accessibility and Inclusion. And we're having a great conversation with April Bender and her daughter, Michaela. So before the break, we were discussing the COVID-19 pandemic and how it affects people with disabilities. And you were just telling us that her classroom, she's not required to wear a mask. And I know that's been a little bit of a controversy with the mask wearing for people with disabilities and having to disclose and reasons and whatnot. But talk to us about that in terms of her class. And she's not able to wear that, not able to wear a mask, and within the community as well.
So it's a struggle, and I'm not an anti-mask wearer by any means. I 100% believe that we should be wearing masks to protect ourselves, to make sure that others are protected as well. Like, I completely understand all of that. With Michaela, it's a struggle. She's got a lot of sensory going on, and I've tried to put on a mask. I've tried to talk her through it. I've tried to wear the shield. She doesn't even like wearing a hat. And it's always a big ordeal with winter gear. Like, it's just a sensory thing for her. So there was a time that I didn't realize. I took my son out to Indigo. He needed a book. And I didn't realize that Indigo's rules had changed, that everyone had to wear a mask. This was before it all came out to everybody else. So my son's wearing a mask. I'm wearing a mask, like I said, but she won't wear one. And it kind of, when we got stopped at the door saying we couldn't enter because she wouldn't wear a mask, it really irritated me. I'm like, because she's special needs. I can't force it on her. Most of the time I'm a single mom doing things with my husband working. My son needed to get a book for school. And I was like, well, what am I supposed to do? And because she's special needs, I can't leave her at home. Even though she's of age to be at home, I can't leave her at home. What am I supposed to do? So it just becomes a real, I don't know. I don't know if people take advantage of the fact that they don't have to wear a mask or whatever, but for those that really can't wear a mask, it's hard for me to be understanding of that. I've tried. It's not like I said, it's not mask wear. We do wear a mask to protect, and I understand the whole thing, but when they have a special needs, I just really think there should be a little bit more empathy towards that. It's her right as well, right? Like, the fact that she can't wear one, it should be, I don't know. it's just something that really bugs me deep down. And so now, like, because everybody in the world, every store right now, you can't go into a store without a mask. Michaela goes nowhere. She goes home to school. And thankfully, yes, she doesn't have to wear one at school. I'm thankful for that. Otherwise, she wouldn't be able to attend school either. Like I said, I don't know. It's hard for me because it's honestly, it's a health issue for her. And I don't know if we did something a little differently, I don't know, but it's a struggle. So yeah, so Michaela does go to school without a mask. I'm not sure about the other boys in her class, if they wear a mask or not. I haven't really asked that, but her teachers wear a mask. Her and their educators are all wear masks and they wear the shields and stuff. They're protected. Michaela will sanitize and wash her hands as needed and stuff. Obviously, if she has sniffles or if I thought that she was unwell for any reason, I wouldn't send her, just for the safety of everybody else and for her too, right? I'm a mom that definitely, I'm not going to send her if she's sick or if I feel like someone else would be at risk. But I do know there's a little bit of controversy right now because I'm an educator as well, so I'm at home teaching from home, but there are people working in the school system because they are working with special needs kids. And I know it's a little bit of a debate because they feel like they're being put at risk and everything else. And I agree with that. I do believe that we're putting the proper safety precautions there. And like I said, I'm a mom. If she's not feeling well, I'll definitely keep her home. But these kids really need to be at school. They really do. They need the routine. I mean, last COVID, last time we were in lockdown, she was in a regular class. And at that time, we had no idea what was going on, how we were teaching, how we were learning. And I was trying to teach from home. She was trying to learn. And she struggled. She had meltdowns, and she's not one to have meltdowns. Mm-hmm. I struggled. I was in tears. It was hard. So those few months were really, really, really hard in our house. And my mental health drastically dropped. I was definitely feeling depression setting in. I could sense with her, like she had stopped eating meals. She was only eating one meal a day. So obviously something was bugging her. So that's the mental health part of it. And so for her now going to school and having that set routine every single day and getting on the bus every single day, on the bus, that's right, sweetie. It helps her. It helps her realize, like, it helps her mentally as well as physically, as well as she knows what's happening next. It helps me. I get that bit of a break so that she's at school. I can do my job. And I don't feel like the mental health part of it is as bad right now. It's definitely, yes, I'm stuck at home and I'm an extrovert, so that's struggling, but it's not as bad as what it was last COVID. Last COVID, I just felt hopeless. And I could tell she was too. She'd bring her shoes to the door because she wanted to go somewhere and then bawl her eyes out because we couldn't go anywhere, right? So I feel like it's definitely better mental health-wise of our routines that we've got going on this time we're in lockdown.
Yeah, and so then talk to us then about the family dynamic. Michaela has a younger brother, Jaden. And talk to me about their relationship. How's their relationship?
So, Jaden, so Michaela is 14, Jaden is 11. There's almost 3 years between the two of them. And it's funny because ever since Jaden was born, he's always been her little big brother. And I remember the time that he finally surpassed her milestones. It kind of broke my heart a little bit, but he didn't take it with any grain of salt. Like he is her protector. When they were in elementary school together, he'd always be the one looking out for her if he heard her in the hallway. He is the one that, if I'm frustrated with her, he's like, "Mom, that's Michaela. She can't do that." You know, like kind of puts my mind back at ease. I'm like, "Oh, you're right. You know, he's also, you know, asked questions about her future and just the fact that, you know, what's going to happen to Michaela when she's older. And I explain, you know, she's probably gonna live with mommy and daddy until we can't do anymore. And then she'll go in a home. And he's like, Why would you put her in a home? And I'm like, "Well, because, buddy, she can't live on her own, right?" And he's like, "Well, I'll take care of her." He's like, "I know what she eats. I know what she needs. I can take care of her." And I'm like, "Buddy, you're going to have your own life with your own wife and family and stuff." He's like, "Well, then she's going to have to realize that she's living with me." So it's funny, like they're typical siblings in the sense that they do fight and they have their moments. But his heart is something else. Like, he's a typical 11-year-old boy who loves Fortnite and loves hockey and everything else and mouthy as ever. But when it comes to his sister, he's a different kid. Like, he truly does love her, and he wants to protect her, and he wants to be there for her. I do really think that God picked the kids that I have for a reason, because they have something special between the two of them.
That's incredible. And the relationship is something special. So where I want to go with this, April, is your dynamic as a whole, you know, yourself, your husband, Jaden, and Michaela. That's truly something special, because from what I see and what I notice into your community endeavors, that everybody's always there when they can be supporting one another, whether it's at Michaela's cheer squad, Jaden's hockey game. You're all there supporting one another, and I think that's truly something special.
I guess, like, my childhood wasn't the greatest, and I feel like you need to support each other. And having Michaela has definitely put strain on my husband and I. We've had our stressful moments, and when we're frustrated with her, we take it on each other, which is not always the greatest. But it's also taught us that not to take the little things for granted, I guess, and count your blessings, because life could be different. And I've realized that a lot when she's had many appointments at McMaster and stuff, and you see the kids with cancer, or, you know, you see your friends dealing with things that, you know, no child should ever deal with. And I realize, like, yeah, she's got disabilities, and yeah, it's frustrating at times, and yeah, I got to do a lot for her, but she's healthy. And she's taught us a lot. Like, I used to be a very, very shy person. But because of her now, she's definitely opened me up. And I really love talking about her and just explaining to others her disability and what we've overcome and not to give up. And as an educator as well, I've now gone into further education for the autism in the autism course, because that's where my passion is. I feel like I can help other parents and other kids because of her. It's funny, like, you're given this gift and you don't realize it down the road, but what it ends up being for your life, you know that that's where your heart is, and it's kind of led there, you know? So hopefully in my future, I can help other parents who are dealing with the school system and some of the leaps and bounds that the child goes through and stuff. And I can help them because I've been through it. And I've been through those harder moments, and I've been through those tougher moments, but I've also been through the really good moments too, right? And then I can be an empathetic supporter to those other families that are dealing with it too. So yeah, so we do things as a family because that's what a family's supposed to do, right? You're supposed to support each other no matter what the difference is, no matter what the good times and the bad, right? And I hope that I instill that in my own kids too, right? And I know, like, just this past over the winter, Jaden witnessed his friend getting hit by a car over by our house, and that was really struggling for him, and that was a different ballpark that I had to deal with. I dealt with the special needs aspect, but this was a whole new mental health aspect I've never had to deal with before. But because I think of his empathetic heart, he decided to do a gift card drive for his friend's family. And he raised over $2,500 worth of gift cards for this family. We brought it over to them, and they were in tears. And it just showed me, like, yes, he's a typical 11-year-old boy, but that heart that he has, it's probably because having Michaela as a sister has brought that out in him.
That's amazing. And I remember that story. And then I love what he did in terms of his way to heal. April, we're going to take our last break. We're going to come back and talk to you more about your message to the community. So we'll be right back on Above and Beyond.
Okay, sounds good.
To acceptably include you.
This is CIOI 101.5 FM. The Hawk is on the air.
Sullivan's business was doing so well, he had no time to vacation or even recruit an assistant. Community Employment Services at Mohawk College helped by pre-screening candidates, developing training plans, monitoring on-the-job progress, and providing training incentives. Sullivan found a great assistant and more time to spend with the kids.
Call 905-575-2177 or visit Community Employment Services at Mohawk College, Fennel, and Stony Creek campuses. This Employment Ontario service is funded by the Ontario government.
Here's an interesting statistic. Out of every 1,000 sexual assaults in Canada, 3 lead to a conviction. That means you're more likely to get into trouble for making an illegal left-hand turn, or parking in the wrong place, or walking your dog without a leash, or not shoveling your sidewalk, or jaywalking. We don't think that's okay. If you agree, join the conversation at #NotOkay. A message from YWCA Canada.
Do you have a job interview coming up and you don't have the right outfit? Well, look no further. The MSA Career Closet is your one-stop shop that you can use twice a month. Get 2 pieces of office attire every time. You get to keep them and not break the bank. The MSA Career Closet has gently used professional clothing and accessories that have been donated by fellow students and staff. So come to the Career Closet and the MSA office at G109 to dress to impress at your next interview.
On a busy night at the bar, it isn't the heavy trays or the fast pace that make a server's job so difficult.
Now, who had the Caesar?
What makes the job tough is the moment a server realizes a customer's had enough alcohol to drink and they have to make that decision not to overserve.
Sorry, no more drinks. Let me call you a cab.
Refusing service isn't personal. It's the law. Thanks to all the servers in Ontario who do the tough job of keeping us all safe. A message from Mad Canada.
You're listening to The Hawk, 101.5 FM in Hamilton, Ontario.
Welcome back to Above and Beyond, joined by April Benner and Michaela. April, I wanted to conclude today's great conversation with you with just giving us a message to the community and what, having gone through this pandemic, as a mother of a child with a person with a disability, and your advocacy, and what all of that combined has meant to you.
So, I don't know. I just feel like today in COVID right now, I feel like it's all about negativity. There's a lot of negativity out there. And sometimes I feel like we just need to be kind to others. You don't know their background. You don't know what's going on. You don't know. Some people with disabilities all look different. And I feel like if we're there, we can't really judge others right now. Support each other, love each other. It's hard. I get it. It's hard. And I have a typical child and I have a child with special needs. I am having her during COVID is definitely been a real struggle, but I guess just be kind, you know, just, you never know what's out there. You never know what they're struggling with and you never know what's is going through their minds at the time or what mental health they're dealing with at the time for COVID or whatever. Disabilities can look in different forms, but I do feel like we need to just understand each other a little bit more and be kind to, like I said, be kind. I guess that's my whole quote is just be kind to each other. It's hard. It's hard for as a mom. It's a hard as a child. It's a hard as a teenager going through this right now, but we'll get through it. We'll get through it.
And what is one thing that someone can do in the community to help one another?
I don't know, even just little simple things like holding the door for somebody or just being like, hey, how's it going? You know, and not worried that this person's gonna, I don't know, pass COVID on so easily. I just smile or I don't know, just we need a lot more positivity out there as opposed to what I feel like is happening. And when I take her out, I just get looks, you know, instead of that, I'd be like, hey, how's it going kind of thing, you know? I just feel like we're just, I don't know. It's hard to explain, but I just feel like we just need to be more accepting of each other, you know, just understand and accept.
Well, April, this has been a great conversation. Thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you.
So I'd love to hear your feedback. Please feel free to reach out to me at goaboveandbeyondtv@gmail.com. I'd also like to take this quick opportunity to express my gratitude and thanks to everybody that has supported Above and Beyond to what it has grown to be. And like always, we finish off every show with the quote, and this quote comes to us from April, which reads, "Why fit in when you were born to stand out?" And that's from Dr. Seuss. I'm Anthony Frazina. Thanks so much for joining me on Above and Beyond. I'll see you next time.
Put your hand in mine, and as things change, we're growing strong. We'll rise above it all.